This morning we are going to partake around the Lord's table, Holy Communion. And just before we get to that, I want to take the opportunity to continue our series on stewardship. And stewardship has to be a way of life. And this morning's message is how to give a gift that matters. Last week, if you were with us, we continued this series on stewardship, and we began looking at our giving from God's perspective. We learned that God looks at giving in a personal way, at our giving in a personal way, and we also learned that not all gifts that we give to the Lord are same to Him. Some are acceptable and pleasing to the Lord, while other gifts are unacceptable, and they can be unpleasing or satisfying or unfulfilling to the Lord. We also learned that the first of four key truths that we're going to learn about over the next couple weeks that make gifts acceptable to God, and when we give gifts to the Lord, the first one of these truths is the amount matters. When we give an amount that matters to us, it matters to God. We found last week that basically when we give an amount that matters to us, it takes our heart because our treasure is there. And what Jesus said, where our heart or our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so when we give an amount that matters to us, we are really giving a part of our heart to God. We also learned that when we give an amount that matters, it brings delight and joy, not only to the heart of God, but also to the heart of you and I and our lives as well. This morning, however, we want to ask the question, what does the Bible really say about how much to give? And who determines the right amount? You know, friends, these are exciting concepts that when we understand what the Bible says, they can set us free. I want you to hear that. When we understand what the Scriptures actually say and teach, they can set us free with these answers. And not only can they set us free, but they can significantly deepen our relationship with God through our giving. We're going to discover two more key truths about acceptable gifts that will help us better understand exactly how you and I can give an amount that matters. If you've brought your Bibles, and I certainly hope you have, turn into the book of Deuteronomy. It's in the Old Testament. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 16, and this will be a springboard for us into some other scripture texts. We'll be primarily looking at verse 16 and 17. So if you have your Bibles open, follow along as I read these two verses. Three times in a year, all your men shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses. At the feast of unleavened bread, and at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of booths, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which He has given to you. The second truth that we can see from this scripture is that we determine the amount. We see from this text that God expected an offering. But the interesting truth that we discover through this text is that those individuals bringing the offering determined the amount, not God. In fact, throughout all the Old Testament and New Testament, God shows us through His Word time and time that giving is very personal. And giving to God is not like giving to the IRS or giving your mortgage payment to your mortgage company. God does not set an amount. He does not give a formula or provide a form which determines how much you and I are to give. Giving, friends, is not about a ritual. Hear that. Giving to God is not about a ritual. In fact, according to God's word, giving is much more about a personal relationship. I want you to have that sink deep in your souls. Giving to God is a much more about a personal relationship with Him versus being just a ritual. This may seem foreign to you or strange to you. It may even make you uncomfortable. Because if you're like me, having been raised up in the church, all you heard was 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%. And if you're like me, unable at certain points in my life, unable to give that 10%, then the guilt would set in, the shame would set in, the feeling of less than would set in. And friends, Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so guilt and shame and feeling less than is not coming from our Heavenly Father. It is not coming from the Holy Spirit within us. It's coming from things that have been heaped up and hopped onto you and I in our life from outside sources. You see, but the other thing is that many of us in our life, all we want to do is we want to do what's right. And because we want to do what's right, we just want people to tell us what is expected and what we should do in order to be in the right, do we not? We want to say, just tell me what I'm supposed to do and I'll do it. But friends, God wants your heart. He wants my heart. He wants your attention and my attention. He wants your focus and my focus more than he desires some little gift from our pocketbook. Let that sink in. He wants your heart. He wants my heart. He wants your attention. He wants my attention. He wants your focus. He wants my focus more than he wants whatever we could write a check from our pocketbook. He wants you. And so the living God says to you and to me, he says, you decide, you think it through, you determine what you will bring me for a gift. And I just have to ask, isn't that how other gifts work? You know, I've got a niece and nephew that I care deeply about, and as they were growing up, when a birthday would come up or Christmas would come up, I had two options, and those of you that are married, you know this is true, and those of you that aren't, you know this is true as well. For those in your family that you love, for those individuals that you have in your life that you love, the two options are this. I could go to Christy and Mark, and I could say, hey, what do you want, and I'll get it, and I'll wrap it up, put a nice little bow on it, and put it in an acceptable package, and get them exactly what they want. Or the second option is I could listen to them. I could learn about them. I could listen to the cues that they put down throughout the weeks leading up to their birthday and Christmas. I could hear their heart. I could get into their life, and then I could go and buy and purchase an acceptable gift. Which one of those two gifts would be more attractive and more meaningful and more purposeful and more heartfelt to them? I'm here to tell you, the second one. Because I put my heart into it. I put myself into it. I didn't just seek to fulfill an obligation. And friends, when we simply say, Lord, all you want is a percentage of my income, then we are saying to God that we are just wanting to fulfill an obligation. You see, God wants to be in a love relationship with you and me. Just like our family members want to be in a love relationship with you and me, of those people in our families. And so it's not fulfilling an obligation. Giving to the Lord the gifts that please God, the gift where he determines the amount and we simply write the check, does not please him. It doesn't satisfy him. It doesn't fulfill him. Instead, the gift where we get to know the living God and listen for his inner promptings, his moving of the Holy Spirit, and understand his heart, and then give something acceptable to him and Samaritan's purse. The living God loves all the children of the world, does he not? It could be a gift in a form of coming across someone walking on the street where the Holy Spirit prompts you to help them, to buy them a meal. You see, we can look at gifts this way. We can look at it as a free will giving, or we determine the amount giving. And this concept is not new. All throughout the Old Testament, you know, basically we often assume that God determined the gift amount for the children of Israel through the Old Testament, but in reality, through the law, only what was determined was God determined some of the gifts. There's eight different types of gifts spoken of in the Old Testament. And in fact, only four of them did God prescribe what was to be given. The other four, God said to the giver, you determine what you give. We see this with Solomon in 1 Kings when he offered 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. And we're not told why he did this, but all we can, you know, presume from the scripture is that apparently Solomon determined it was an appropriate and acceptable gift to present to the Lord. It was not, and it does not seem to appear that God set that amount or that he prescribed it. In fact, in the New Testament, with Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, if you'll recall with me, Zacchaeus, you know, was climbing up in a tree just to see Jesus. And in Luke at 19, verse 8, Zacchaeus stopped and he said to the Lord Jesus, he said, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." We can ask the question, why did Zacchaeus give 50% of his income, of what he had? The fact is, Zacchaeus determined the amount because his heart was moved by the salvation that Jesus had offered him that day. There's no record of Jesus telling him what to give. Neither is there a standard of 50% given anywhere else in the Scripture. Zacchaeus determined it was an acceptable gift. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "Each one must do as he or she has purposed in their heart, not begrudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." No standard, no amount, no formula, no percentage is ever mentioned, only that you decide, you purpose in your heart the amount that you give as God has given to and blessed you. So this morning we've seen clearly that the Bible teaches that we determine the amount and not God. And so how much is the right amount to be acceptable and pleasing to God? The third key truth is this, that we give according to our abilities. I want us to hear this, because many times we just go to one point and we say, well, giving means money, and no, it doesn't. Our abilities, our talents, and we just have several individuals that just got back from Henderson. They have abilities to go down there and serve, and that, my friends, was a gift that was pleasing and honoring and satisfying to the Lord. Why? Because it's caring about those people that the Lord cares about. So we need to give according to our abilities. And God's standard for your giving and my giving, an acceptable gift, an amount that matters to you and to me, is that we give according to our abilities. We can see that it's an Old Testament standard to give according to what we have and our abilities. If we look back at Deuteronomy 16, verse 17, we see, "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given to you." So they were required to give as they were able. The amount that they were to bring for an offering was according to their ability, according to what God has blessed them with. This same theme, it continued in the early church. In Acts 11, 29, we're told the disciples determined everyone according to his or her ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. Notice who determined the gift amounts. The disciples did, and they did so according to their abilities. I want to give us four ways that we can give to our abilities. As I mentioned, when most people think of giving, they think of only one ability, but in all reality, each of us have multiple abilities or sources which God has granted us, from which we can give an acceptable gift back to him. The first is we have profitability, we have money, we have resources. And this is where most people's minds go, and most people consider this as the only viable option when they think of giving to the Lord. Friends, this is your income ability, the profits or increase that you and I have from the work of our hands or other sources of income that God has blessed you and I with. We do need to give finances and funds. But friends, that's not our only source of giving. We also have possession ability. For some of us, God may prompt your heart or my heart to give a gift from the assets or possessions that you or I own. Think of Zacchaeus. He said, "I will give half of my possessions." Or what about the children of Israel when they brought gold and silver and linen and other possessions for the construction of the tabernacle? Perhaps you have some possession that God has blessed you with, or some other asset from which you could give a gift as an expression of worship that would be pleasing to God. As crazy as it sounds, at the last church that I was at, there was a young woman who was in need of a vehicle. This sounds absolutely bizarre. And we began to pray. We began to pray that God would bring her a vehicle so she could work and get back on her feet. And friends, that's exactly what God did. From an outside source, an individual who is very well-to-do, he's been blessed by God, he approached the church and he said, I have this vehicle and I want to give it to a charity. That's giving out of our possessions. You know, many times households in the years past, people would borrow things from their neighbors and they would borrow things. And I just wonder in our neighborhoods, why do we need to have one of everything in every household? It seems silly. And so we get almost prideful that we don't want to interact and we don't want to engage anyone. But it's about giving out of our possessions. What has God given to you and to me that maybe could bless someone else? I have heard of individuals giving a moped, giving things that were important to them to bless someone else. And friends, that is giving. That is stewardship. That is what God wants you to do, to have that inner prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, look, I want to bless this person, and you have exactly what will bless this person, and I want you to give that. That many times has nothing to do with the church. It has everything to do with your personal relationships in life. It has everything to do with the Lord leading you. The third thing that we have is we have paid for ability. And these are tangible blessings from the Lord that come in unique ways. They may not always result in financial gains or deposits to your account, but they stretch your ability to give. Perhaps your child receives a college scholarship, which frees up some of your savings you had committed toward the expense. Or listen to this one. Maybe a friend buys you lunch, and you had already committed $10 for lunch. That's been paid for. That's a blessing that God has blessed you with. And many times we just take that, and I'm guilty too. I'm speaking to myself. We take that savings that God has blessed us with, and then we attribute or apply those funds to something else. And maybe God, maybe the Lord is really saying to you and to me, I'm blessing you with this paid lunch so you can bless someone else. It's been bought, it's been paid for. And friends, when I stumbled across this, I had to think back all the different times when my lunch has been paid for, and I just have to wonder how many times I personally have missed the prompting of God to bless someone else, to worship Jesus Christ in my individual walk and journey with Him by blessing someone else. It could even be a cell phone or a car that your employer provides for your personal use. Freeing up that money in your budget that can be allocated to giving a gift. You see, we need to understand that these examples are not designed to tax you or to put undue pressure on all the benefits that God gives to you. But they are to call our attention to all the ways that you and I are blessed, to see how much you and I really are receiving from the Lord, and to determine amounts that matter. The last way that we can give is through our faith ability. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. As we've seen, giving acceptable gifts is about a relationship with God. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Friends, if acceptable gifts are gifts that are pleasing to God, then it certainly makes sense that acceptable gifts are gifts that involve faith. God will often prompt our hearts to give an amount that matters beyond what we think we can give. Oftentimes, those are opportunities to step out in faith and to deepen our trust and our walk with Him. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there, where the Holy Spirit's prompting you. You have so much money, and it's really not in your budget, and you see somebody that could use a meal, and God's tugging at your heart, and you're thinking, but that's going to leave me short. Friends, that's stepping out in trust with where God wants you to go. It's stepping out in partnering with Him in the faith ability. So I just close with this. There's no doubt in my mind that many of these may be new concepts, but what's most important is that you and I see that God views giving like He views every other area of our relationship with Him. He doesn't tell us how many times a day to pray. He doesn't even tell us how often we are to read or to study His Word. In fact, in the Gospels, Jesus even stated an unlimited amount of how often we were to forgive others to make a point. But here's the kicker. Our entire Christian life ought not be based on rules and rituals. Hear that. Our entire Christian journey better not be based upon rules and rituals. It had better be based upon a loving relationship with the living God. In a few moments, we're going to meet around the Lord's table, and I certainly hope that everyone in here does not view this as a rule or a ritual. I certainly hope that. If that's your view, then let it pass. Please, by all means, the scripture says that do not eat or drink unworthily, otherwise you will eat and drink damnation unto your soul. We need to understand this is about relating to the risen Christ. It's about relating to the Messiah, Jesus, who has come, who has laid down His life, and He has risen again. It has nothing to do with rules and rituals. Friends, God sees our giving to Him as personal. Just as He saw Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus had an opportunity to do what He wanted or to do God's will, and Jesus put down and laid down the perfect, acceptable, pleasing gift to the Heavenly Father, but yet He at one point said, "Let this cup pass." But then He accepted the will of God and said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And so, friends, as we seek to give God gifts, may they be personal gifts. And may we also remember that God expects you and I to give based on our abilities. Jesus, He had the ability to be perfect. He was perfect. Jesus had the ability that none of us had. And He fulfilled that perfect sacrificial gift for your benefit and my benefit. And so, may we draw from our relationship with God to determine what He would have us to give, and may we consider all of our abilities when we give to the living God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are humbled, Lord, that You put the ball in our court, so to speak. You tell us to determine what it is that we would give to You. The wise man came and worshiped the baby Jesus. And they brought the gifts of the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, the gifts that were acceptable to them, and they determined those gifts. And yet, Jesus, You viewed those gifts as pleasing because they gave their heart, Lord. And so, Father, may we just pattern our life after what You would want. That personal relationship with You, that loving relationship with You that spurs and spawns out giving to You in the variety of ways that You would have us to give. May we turn away from the rituals and the rules that so often are heaped up upon all of us. And may we turn to You, a loving God, a merciful Savior who yearns to encounter and engage all of us. Lord, prepare our heart as we meet around Your table. Prepare our heart, our mind, and our soul that You may be blessed and honored and glorified. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. This morning we will be taking communion by intinction. It's an open communion. If you are visiting here, we invite everyone to partake as long as they profess faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He met with His disciples, and He took the bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me." Jesus also took the cup and He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. Take and drink in remembrance of me."